then, welcome to episode 30 of season 9 of Movie Raw Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the final two Die Hard movies, Live Free or Die Hard and A Good Day to Die Hard, which are both not up to par with the regular trilogy, but what can you do? But that's why we're doing it 5 minutes at a time instead of 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob. And joining me to go through these agonizing 15 minutes is John Parker of the Batminute. Welcome to the show, John. You might regret being on this season, but I don't know.
I do not regret it. I don't. You know, thank you for having me. I mean, I don't want to break your heart. I don't mind the fourth one. The fourth one's okay. But let's be honest. Let's just get this out. This one's not great.
One second. I want to backtrack a little bit. You're saying the fourth one. Fourth one's not terrible, but
it's not terrible.
But do you think it's on par with the first three?
Oh no. It doesn't match up to them. But it's a watchable movie.
Yeah. Oh, for sure, it's watchable. We had a lot of fun with it. We found a lot of mistakes, especially with graphics on the screen and stuff like that, and inconsistencies with the trilogies. You know, I mean, yeah. I've mentioned these before, but I'll mention them again anyway, because I love mentioning the fact that we found them. It says that John got a citation, for saving the people of Chicago when the airport was taken over by terrorists.
Yeah.
The problem is that it took place in Washington.
I was thinking Chicago. It's not Chicago, but I couldn't remember where it was.
Yes.
Oh, no, that's bad, because you could just find that out in 5 seconds.
Well, you have to, you have to pause when they show John's dossier. It also shows there that Holly was apparently 12 when they got married.
Oh no, yeah. John.
No. Seriously.
That's not done. But again, it's a watchable movie. Whereas
watchable. But I mean, I talked about this a lot. It's not a Die Hard movie. It's more of an action thriller.
Oh yeah, I mean that's something I think they doubled down on with this one is John. He's not John McClane that we know. He's an action hero.
Yes,
and the appeal of John McClane is that he's kind of not right.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's it was interesting to watch it again because I watched this once on release, and I'll be honest, I was like,
theater?
That's one of the I actually don't know why I didn't go. I don't know if they even showed it in the theater here. I think maybe they just decided not to bother, and it was like a straight to sort of DVD or something. No, I watched it on release, and I really didn't like it. I actively hated it. So it was fun to revisit it though, because I've never thought about it again since.
Did you remember a lot of the plot points and twists and stuff like that?
Sadly, yes. I was thinking, I remember most of this.
I didn't. So I'm, the last time I watched this was a year ago, and I remember that a year ago I rated it 1 out of 10. That's how much I hated the movie. And I actually last week went back and rewatched it because I said I got to refresh my memory. Because unlike the other Die Hard movies, especially not the first three, which I know basically by heart, this movie has never been a favorite. I think I've seen it now maybe 6 times. In the 12 years since it came out.
That's probably more than most people.
Well, I'm sure it is. But again, I watch, and I'm not even including, watching just the segments that we're doing. That's a separate thing also. But what it came down to is that when I rewatched it last week, I said to myself, wow, I'm actually glad that I've rewatched it because, I don't really remember a lot of these things that are happening. Like I remember it in general, but not the specifics about a whole bunch of things. Which is why it's always fun to watch a movie minute by minute because you're paying a little more attention to things. You're gonna catch things that you wouldn't have caught otherwise that they maybe don't even expect you to catch.
Definitely, yeah. And I put myself in a different frame of mind when I sat down to rewatch this. And I'll say for the first maybe half an hour, I was thinking, oh, this is a lot better than I remember. This is like a competent movie, and then it quickly goes downhill. After that, well, once you get actually out of these scenes, I think it suddenly nosedives.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the problem here. Yeah, there's a lot of inconsistencies, which is a big problem. You know, there are things that just don't make any sense. But we'll probably get to them. Maybe. Who knows?
Well, we'll see.
Yes, we shall. That we'll have to figure out by going through over the next over the next hour, maybe today, and the next 2 days, as we go through these 5 minute segments. Just I gotta say that the one thing I'm very happy about is that I did decide not to do either Live Free or Die Hard or A Good Day to Die Hard 1 minute at a time, because I think that would have been even more agonizing than doing them both by 5 minutes, because it's just not the same.
Yeah, I think the problem is, which we're gonna delve into, I think the problem is they just throw in action scenes in this one without a kind of build. It just go it's almost like they went, oh, hang on, there's been 15 minutes, put in an action scene.
You
And
think
so it's
they
kind of
waited
hard to talk
15
about
minutes
now.
for
Well, you know,
that?
it's like a box ticking thing, isn't it? It's like they don't, because obviously there's loads of action in the first three. But they feel like they've been built up to. They feel earned, deserved, and there's structure around them to discuss. Whereas this one, it's just like, I don't know, put boring Jai Courtney in a scene here. There you
Exactly.
go.
And not just Jack Courtney, even Bruce Willis is not on par here. I gotta say,
Yeah.
he has some good lines here and there, but
I wanted to
all in
ask about
all,
that without being dark, right? Was he having issues around this time, like his health
I
problems?
don't know. I really don't know the answer to that.
Because
But
when I first watched it, I didn't know about
it
that,
seems
obviously.
that possibly. But I think at this point in his career, Bruce Willis, as great as he was in the late earlies and the 90s, and even to some degree in the beginning of the 2000s, he reached a point where he just didn't give a shit. You'd
Yes,
see the
yeah.
movies that he chooses to be in, even in the 2010s, there's so many movies which bill Bruce Willis, and then you watch it and he's in the movie for like 3 minutes.
The only time I like that is when he's in Planet Terror for like 5 minutes, because that's what they used to do in those old Grindhouse movies, was bill a big star, but they were barely in the movie, so it's like an in joke.
Exactly. Okay, that makes sense, and that's Tarantino. So that's
Yeah.
that's expected. But I'm just talking about all these random action movies that he needs to put food on the table, for his family. That's about it.
Nothing wrong with doing it. Nothing wrong with
Nothing.
doing it. But
No, not
when
at
you're
all.
one of the most lovable guys, it's like, oh, yeah, I don't know, the audience is missing something. And he's missing something here. So that's where I thought maybe it was like the start of him having problems, because he's not got the same energy to him at all.
Well, he's also a lot older, so that could be
I know,
part of
but
it
I
also.
like not even necessarily physical energy though, like a kind of like an aura, you know, like even in the fourth one, he's still got a bit of pizzazz, you know.
No, but I think it's more that he's just phoning it in. I think that's what
Yeah,
it
it
comes
could be
down to.
that. I hope it's that, but you know.
Again, we'll never know because nobody knows, specifically when all of his medical issues began and whatever. And again, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. We have to be thankful and grateful that we have some great movies that he did when he
Yeah.
was at the top of his game. And
Absolutely.
included in those are the original Die Hard trilogy, which again, I
Yeah.
still refer to it as a trilogy because it's so different than these two movies. And that's also why I combine these two movies, because they're Die Hard in name only.
Yeah, it's almost like a separate thing,
Yes.
you know. It's and I grew up with it being called the Die Hard trilogy. In fact, I think it was probably, it'll be either be Die Hard or Alien. They were the first two I ever heard that word applied to, kind of like, because there was a video game Die Hard trilogy, you know. There was an Alien game, Alien trilogy. So.
Well, I don't know if Alien 3 really would fit in. The only thing that I like about Alien 3 is that it takes place immediately after Alien 2. Aliens,
Oh, yeah.
sorry. That's the only thing I like about it. The directions they take Aliens 3 just isn't as enjoyable as the first two movies were.
I get it. I'm a big defender of it, but most people don't like it. I know I'm in the
But do
minority.
you like it better than the first two?
Oh, no.
Exactly. So
I include it. I don't think it's considerably worse, though. I think it's up there. You know, it's nearly as good. I give the first two like a 10 out of 10. I'd give 3, maybe an 8.
Well, I didn't like the way they killed Hicks right at the beginning. You know, it's like...
I get people hating that. I do. I like the bleak, horrible tone, but I also understand it doesn't, you know...
And they killed Newt also. I mean, they just killed everybody. There's like, okay, you know, you have this quote-unquote happy ending at the end of Aliens, and you're like, oh, this is so nice. You know, James Cameron is finally letting someone survive. You know,
no.
in something that's not so bleak, and then you know, you wait 6 years, and then the sequel comes, the next movie comes out, and basically everyone's dead.
That's what I like, though. You thought there was hope in this universe. There's no hope. Be miserable. Be miserable.
Right. In space, they can't hear you. They can't hear as miserable. They can't hear you. Being as miserable as you really are. Yeah.
Exactly. That's one thing you could say about this, though. It might feel different to the others, but it's still at least trying to. It's not like destroying the character of John McClane completely. It hasn't like twisted him into something that he's not. Other than he's a bit of an action star, okay. But if you made like a new Die Hard now, if he was up for it, you know, if he was capable, I would worry that they'd be like, oh well, okay, his kids are dead. And all, you know, it'd be really miserable and bleak, wouldn't it? They do that a lot.
He's got to help people out of the old age home that's been taken over by. I don't know, but again, we know that that's not really realistic, and I really, really hope that no one ever decides to reboot this series.
Don't tempt them. I think they will. I think they will. You know.
I think so too. I'm very concerned that that's what's going to be happening. I mean, as we see, you know, every year they're just remaking stuff that they shouldn't be remaking.
Yeah.
I mean, they just remade The Naked Gun.
I'm really in two minds about that. Like the trailer, some of the trailer was good and some of it was terrible. So I'm like, this could really go either way.
Right, but I don't know if Liam Neeson will be able to really fill the shoes of Leslie Nielsen.
I'm cautiously optimistic for his performance. I think he might pull it off. Whether or not the gags land or not, though, that's separate. But, I mean, like, with Die Hard, I remember... We might have talked about this last time I was on. I remember they were talking...
Last time you were on, we were talking about Saving Private Ryan, so you probably didn't say it.
Well, the last time I was on for Die Hard. But I remember them saying how... One of the plans a few years ago was, oh, we're going to do like a prequel of like younger John McClane. And I'm thinking that's stupid because the whole point of the first movie is he's not been in a situation like that before. He's just a cop.
Yes.
He got into normal cop situations.
Very true.
I mean, that could still be good. You could make it, maybe if that's the way they should do it, a cop like procedural show week to week. Make a TV program.
Where he's just beating up on the bad guys and his captain is telling him that you're not allowed to beat up.
That could work, maybe, if they insist on doing something with the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. But again, I mean, nowadays, part of the problem is that they just want to make remakes and reboots. And come on, they remade The Running Man, which is such a fun Schwarzenegger movie. Which I'm sure that Edgar Wright is going to do it really well because the fact that it's now been nearly 40 years since it came out, you know, the technology has changed and stuff like that, and so it's going to look cool. The question is whether the story itself will be up to par, and the question also is, you know, is it going to be closer to the original Stephen King novel or is it going to be closer to the Schwarzenegger movie?
Yeah. I'm interested because he's a good director and the story was quite ahead of its time. So the story is still relevant, I think.
Oh, for sure. From some perspectives, it's actually even more relevant now because of reality TV, you know, which they didn't have in the 80s.
There were a couple of movies in the 80s that did that. There was
I'm not talking about movies.
So off topic.
I'm not talking about movies. I'm talking about just... the idea that there wasn't really reality TV.
Oh, I mean, again, I know.
If you
want
to talk about what's that called? Something 13. Can't remember the name of the movie. Where people are supposed to go around and they basically have to kill other people. You know, that's the game show that they're on.
Okay. It's just interesting that there must have been something floating around in the ether where people were discussing the future that could be like that, because there's a sort of sequel to the Rocky Horror Picture Show called Shock Treatment, and it's essentially it's like a reality show. Is that the main characters from Rocky Horror are in a reality show, but nobody knew what that was. That wasn't a thing. It's wild. I don't know how people came up with this with nothing to compare it to.
I don't know. Or was it called like Contestant 13? I can't remember the name of that movie.
I'm going to look it up after this, though. It sounds
Something
good.
13. Why are you gonna wait until after?
I can't do it on the fly.
I
I'll
got
get
it.
distracted. The
Oh,
ADHD will
okay, there you
strike, and
go.
I'll go
Here
down
we go. Here we go.
a.
It's called Series 7, The Contenders. There we go. Okay, it wasn't 13.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Which is really
that
funny.
sounds
I did
familiar.
a search for 13 and I actually got Series 7, which blows my mind. But okay, that worked. So yeah, it's basically a fake documentary of
Incredible.
what are they called? What do they call it? A fake documentary,
Oh, a
a
mockumentary.
mockumentary. That's the word. I kept thinking a fuckumentary, but that's not what it's a
That's what they could have done with this Die Hard.
yeah.
To mix it up a little bit, they could have done it where there's like someone f like handheld filming John while he's in the middle of a crisis and following him around with the handheld sort of camcorder.
Nah, I don't think that would work as well.
Well, yeah, but this doesn't work, does it? So it's worth a shot.
Yeah, but they didn't know that this wasn't, well, apparently nobody knew that this wouldn't work, you know.
That's true. And
They
that's one thing I'll
did
credit them
give
with
the
in this
keys.
movie,
They
right?
gave the keys to John Moore, which, you know, I have nothing against John Moore. It's just what?
I will give him some props, though, in this. I think at the beginning, like this, what we're seeing, I think this still feels kind of diehardy, more, again, the action ramped up, but it works for me this bit. And they've tried something a little bit different, like, okay, he's in a different country, he's not just going to be stuck in a building, we're not going back to that. This is a bit more in the world four. Okay, so they've tried. I don't think they were necessarily lazy, except for maybe the actors. But there seems to be some thought put into the film. It
Just
just didn't
and I don't
work.
think enough thought is put into it. That's the thing. It's trying to be something that it's not. That's the problem. You know, that's what bothers me about the whole thing. It's not a question of it saying, oh, okay, let's just take the character of John McClane, put him somewhere and everything will be fine and whatever. It's like, he's not like caught off guard the same way that they do things. Like he's completely confused as to what's going on here the whole time. But again, when we start talking about everything's going there, he's more of a secondary character.
He is, and I just find, I think I find, like in these minutes in particular, his entire plan here, it's not just me, is it, right? It's insane.
Yes.
Like, he's gone to Russia, he's getting his kid, and not only all this stuff happens, and he just instantly springs into action. There's no moment where he's like, oh my God, what's going, he doesn't have to figure anything out. He's just like, oh right, okay, we're in a diehard situation, let's go.
That's right. And I'm just gonna, again, we'll get into it when we start talking about these minutes, because we haven't yet started talking about the minutes. But
Well, we've peppered stuff in.
no, we pepper stuff in for sure. For sure. But the main idea is that okay, John McClane is there. He somehow just finds a way to inject himself into everything that's going on to try and help. You know,
Yeah.
that's what it comes down.
Which on paper is fine because, that's kind of what the first movie is. He accidentally finds himself in that situation. So I think that was their thought process of like, oh, well, we've got to come up with a way that he kind of falls into this. But in the first movie, there's all those scenes of him freaking out and like trying to figure out what's going on. And this, he's just like, ah, I'm just going to kill some people then. Cool.
Yeah.
He doesn't think twice.
No, not at all. Okay,
And you
so
could argue because he's been through it before, but it's like, that's not how the real world works, I don't think.
exactly, and he hasn't been through it before because again, this is all completely non-diehardish. That's what it comes
Yeah,
down to.
yeah.
Okay, so episode 30 begins with the court case continuing and ends with John watching as the chase begins. So we left things off yesterday. Finally Jack and Yuri are brought into the court and they're put into these bulletproof chambers. And the judge is trying to get order in the room. I mean, I don't know enough about the Russian judicial system, and that's fine. There's a lot of judges here.
You should have
You look it up.
researched it.
I honestly had absolutely no inclination to do so.
I
So
don't blame you one bit, no.
sorry about that. So yeah. So basically, the judge is wants to get the court case continued, and we see that Jack has a look on his face that he knows something that nobody else knows, and he stares at Yuri, who looks back at him, and he gives him a little bit of a nod. And Yuri has absolutely no clue why this guy is nodding at him. I mean, it's just very strange. It's a good thing.
Well, you could
It's a good
say
thing it's
that,
just a
yeah.
nod and he didn't like wink at him or something like that. Just and he'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah, that would be interesting to see his reaction to that.
Exactly. And then
It is kind of exciting, like the first time you see this, though, because you don't know what's going on,
correct.
which is actually a bit of suspense for once in this movie. You're like, oh, well, what's happening here? How are these guys going to get out of this situation? It can't be John McClane, and it's not.
Correct. And then we see the convoy of cars finally getting through the security checkpoint, and John is still, walking around this protest. And then we get an overhead shot of the convoy getting closer. I mean, they never really tell us who's in the cars of this convoy, which
No.
is also a little annoying because they want us to believe that there's someone important in them, but we don't know. We never know.
Yes,
And
yeah.
then we have the character of Alec, who's played by Raša Bukvic, who is a Yugoslavian actor. He has 65 IMDb credits. Most prominently, besides this movie, he was in one of the Taken movies, and he was also in one of the Transporter movies. But that's pretty much it. I don't know if his parts. Let's put it this way: he wasn't memorable enough that I would say that I remember him in either of those movies. So he could have been anybody.
No, that's a problem I have with this film as well, I think, is and listeners, I'm trying not to be nasty because nobody likes listening to people being nasty, but like there's not a lot of memorable characters,
Correct.
whereas the first three especially, like even the second one, people sometimes criticize that, but I think you remember the villain,
Yes.
and obviously one and three are two of the best villains ever, so yeah.
That's right. You couldn't. They weren't. They didn't even try to even get close to either of them here.
No, and that's again, you can say for four, okay, it might not be perfect. They at least tried to come up with an interesting villain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thomas Gabriel is definitely an interesting villain. He's far from being someone from the Gruber family, but
Yeah.
he still does have some vicious moments, throughout the
Well,
whole thing.
and in this, all it boils down to, I'm not going to spoil it if you're watching minute by minute, but there's a twist, and the twist isn't as mind-blowing as I think they want it to be.
Correct. Correct. And when you know the twist and you watch everything else that's going on, a lot of things just don't make any sense as to why they would
Yeah,
do it this way.
I thought that. I just can't believe their plan.
That's right.
Like
Exactly.
it's relying on a lot of coincidence.
The plan is terrible. And everyone's plan is terrible. Jack's plan is terrible. Yuri's plan is terrible. It's like anyone's plan that they're trying to show us here, it just makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it really does feel like they're just trying to do anything to set up the action scene. Just get to
That's
that,
right.
move to that. Because again, I hate being mean, but Jai Courtney, he's so dull. He can't hold the scenes.
No.
I never liked him. But I remember there was this period where they were trying to force him onto us. Like, oh, Jai
It
Courtney,
was
he's the new
around
thing.
now. This was the time that they were doing that in
Yeah.
the mid 2010s. But you see, you say that he can't hold any scene by himself. He's not in any scenes by himself because he's always with John.
I think it's because they're worried about him as an actor. I think they don't want him to be alone.
No, they wanted it to be a tandem father-son thing. You know,
I think they were hoping that would sort of make up for the shortfalls in the writing or the acting. Or what, you know, that would balance it out. And I don't think they've got much rapport.
Well, again, I think that this is one of the problems that of when they were making sequels to movies or expanding franchises, you know, around this time. Look at a lot of a lot of franchises that worked well in their beginning. So what they eventually did was they brought another character in, and they said they were hoping that this character would do so well that they could then, you know, pass the baton to him. I mean, a perfect example of that is Indiana Jones. Okay, everyone thought that they were going to be passing on the baton, and nobody liked him.
it's very rarely.
And then they ended up killing him in the next movie, and that's it. You know, it's like, you know, it's.
And then with the new movie, there's the what's her name? The new character, the woman.
Yeah.
And I like her a lot on that, but you can tell they're testing the waters again. Like,
that's right.
If people like her, we'll make a Disney Plus show.
That's right. Exactly. And you know, I don't like the way that they're doing that because, you know, on the one hand, I understand the logic, and they say, okay, this works. So why don't we see if we can extend it and make it continue to work? But you know, there's only so much that a particular idea will work. You can't spread it out too thinly. And with many franchises, that's what they end up doing.
Absolutely. Know? Yeah. And I think that they had the good sense after this to go, you know what? Let's not do one for a while.
Exactly. And it doesn't, well, now that they, you know, again, it's been 12 years. So this is the, right now we've tied the longest between Die Hard movies.
Oh, was it 12 years between 3 and 4?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That's crazy to me because when I saw 3, I was a child. And then when I saw 4, it's like, oh, I'm an adult.
Well, you were 12 years older.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, because 3 came out in 95, 4 came out in 20 in 07, and this one came out in 13. So, now it's been 12 years. And again, this movie also came out Valentine's Day weekend because this is the movie that you want to take your Valentine to.
You know? Not a single bit of like, there's not even a love interest.
Forget about a love interest. There's one female in the whole movie. And she's not even as good of a bad guy as Mai was in 4. And, you know, she even had limited screen time, but. You know, still, she's Mai is much more memorable than I think her name is Irina. I think that's her name. I
remember Mai. She has at least one or two good moments.
That's right.
And although I had something I wanted to ask about this, because you said to me we're doing the extended cut or whatever, and I assume I've only seen the normal one before because it was on release.
Mm-hmm.
John's daughter was in that cut, wasn't she?
That is correct. She's in the first 5 minutes of the movie. She has
the last bit,
1 minute.
Right?
That's right. She will appear again later. Yeah, her voice appears later. Okay, they show her. She's the one who drops him off at the airport in the theatrical cut. We talked about this earlier this week. And what was really cool is that I watched carefully both the theatrical and the extended version, and it's pretty much the exact same shot, just they cut out the part where she's talking to him, and then you hear John say, "Thanks, Murph," and that's it, implying that Murphy's the guy who brought him, you know, to the airport, and that's it.
That's wild. So the extended cut, they take out one of the only other women who was in the movie.
That is correct.
That's bad. That's so bad.
Which also makes you wonder why they would have taken her out. Again, it was the scene that she's in, a 1 minute scene where she's basically telling John not to mess things up more with Jack. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Which I actually remembered not minding that scene. I thought that was quite good because at least you understand their relationship when he gets there.
That's right. But still, no clue whatsoever.
Maybe she said, "Can you take me out of that terrible film, please?"
No, but the funny thing is she's still in the end credits. She's not in the opening credits, but she's in the end credits. They cut her out of the opening credits.
Oh, that's nuts. That is so nuts. That's something this movie could use. You don't even necessarily need a love interest, but just some women.
Right. But again,
Yeah.
part of my problem with her, I mean, I really do like Mary Elizabeth Winston. I think she's a great actress. Okay,
Same,
but
yeah.
we talked about this during when we dealt with Live Free or Die Hard. She feels more like a damsel in distress than anything else. You
Oh,
know, they
yeah.
she doesn't have enough meat in the movie as Holly did in the first one. Holly
Maybe
didn't
that was their
feel.
thought. Maybe they were like, it's actually worse having her in this role than getting rid of her.
Maybe, but no, but she doesn't fly to Russia, so it doesn't matter.
Well,
But you know,
yeah.
Holly in the first movie does not feel like a damsel in distress because she's able to stand up for herself. She's able to stand up to Gruber and all that stuff, and also to Thornburg, and you know, it was refreshing seeing Holly in that movie. Yes, in Die Hard 2, it's more of a cameo and showing us what's going on in the skies. You know, that's her point.
Yeah,
You
but
know,
it
I
still it works, doesn't
yeah,
it?
it
And
does.
this movie
And
doesn't have someone like that.
no, not at all. And it's missing that anchor, I guess. And you know what? If even if you think about it from that perspective, the in Die Hard with a Vengeance, it was the same thing. You know, she was the anchor because John and Zeus kept mentioning Holly and that he's got to give her a call. He's got to get his life back on track and stuff
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that. So she's there, but you know, I don't know.
No, I guess the only. How would you fit a woman into this, though?
You
Oh,
can't.
geez,
You
I can't even
can't.
think.
You can't. The only way that you would be able to do it is if Jack would have had a girlfriend. You know, that's
Yeah.
part of the, you know, of the plan.
Or you could have a stereotypical, almost like James Bond. There could be an evil, one of the evil Russian ladies trying to seduce him to get close to him.
I don't think that would work with John. Yeah. I don't know. So Alec turns to the guy next to him and goes, detonator. He goes, but sir, the drivers. And he goes, detonator. Then he goes, it's gonna be loud. And you can see right away that Alec is nice and vicious.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's ready for this whole thing. You know, he's
It's
ready
a
to. You know, and I love how he just passes him the phone. You know, and he just takes it gleefully, and then we see that the guys inside of the van in the back are getting ready. You even see at least one of them cross himself, getting ready to go in.
Oh, yeah, well spotted.
Yeah, and you know these guys are all in masks. They're wearing gas masks and stuff like that. And then Alec presses the button, and the three cars explode. And it's very cool because they don't explode all at once. They explode, you know, in order. It's like three,
Yeah.
two, and then one.
I do like see that these are positives you can find in this movie. I actually think stuff like that is really well thought out. That's a good shot. I think that's really cool. You could just make them all blow up at once, and that's actually dull.
Right. They blow up within like a fraction of a second, one after the other, and doing serious damage. I mean, they blow up the entire courthouse.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it would have been so easy for them to just accidentally kill everyone inside there, but
That's
yeah.
right. Well, again, the you know, we'll talk about this shortly, but you know, their plan is that Yuri is in a bulletproof chamber, and therefore he should be safe. You know, it's great logic for it's great movie logic, but it doesn't make any sense in reality, obviously.
Yeah, I can suspend my disbelief for that. I think it's good, oh, you just need to know that he's in a super strong thing. And you're like,
That's
okay,
it.
fine. Yeah,
That's
okay.
it. And you know, there's chaos all around. Everyone's everyone outside in the peaceful parade slash demonstration. You know, they're all thrown to the ground, including John. Who gets up, and now he sees, you know, this I don't even know what to call it. It's like it's a truck van, a truck, a tank type of thing.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't know what that exactly would be called either. I was hoping you knew.
No, I didn't. I didn't. Again, I For this movie, there are a lot of things it's not worth checking. I don't care what type it's called. I'm just gonna call it like a truck tank, and that's
Yeah,
it,
I
right?
assume the Russian sort of police might have military style vehicles like this and
Yeah, I mean they did give us I think it was yesterday a nice shot of John noticing it, seeing that something's up. But now it actually looks that truck tank is farther away from John. Because John is one of the first people up, and he sees that truck tank moving, and he knows something's going on. There's a lot of screaming, and people are running around, and then John sees this tank truck, moving towards moving towards the courthouse, and then we get a shot inside of the courthouse where both Jack and Yuri are both still. Miraculously still alive. They seem to be some of the only people that are still alive.
Yeah,
And
conveniently.
Yuri looks at Jack, and Jack motions to him to come with him. And then this truck tank stops in front, and these guys peel out. They're all it's very funny. They're all wearing like business suits and gas masks.
It's a good look, I think. It's pretty cool. It sort of reminds me of like video games. I can't remember. Oh, what's the game? A Payday. You have like masks on, sort of like clown masks and all kinds of things like this. But you have suits because you're robbing banks and things.
Well, clown masks sounds like something you would be interested in talking
I didn't want to do the obvious choice there and say the Dark Knight,
about, isn't
because it is. I mean, it's kind of the start of the Dark Knight as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And at this point, Jack takes his arm and goes, "Come on, come on, come on now, come, come, come." He's got to convince Yuri that we're the only two people alive in here, so get out. And it makes me wonder, again, we are going to talk about spoilers here. What do you think Yuri is thinking at this point? Is he thinking that Jack is part of the plan to get him out, or is he waiting around for Alina and Alec to show up, Irina and Alec to show up?
I would have said before you posed this question, the latter, that he's waiting around for them. I'd not considered that. He might assume he is part of the escape plan because he won't have organized all that with the crew, surely. They'll have done that. So,
Because again, we
yeah.
don't know what they organized and what they didn't.
Well, that's another thing with this. We don't really know much about them in general.
And we
So,
don't even
like.
find out later. It's not as if it's something that later on is revealed. Even
No.
though it's revealed that Yuri is the mastermind behind this whole thing, that's fine. But we don't really understand why he needed all this.
No, no. And it is to its detriment. Because again, I hate to compare it all the time, but in the first Die Hard, you don't know those guys when you first see them, but it's very, very quick. You understand them.
That's right.
And
And by the
you know what
end,
they're
you also
doing and what
understand.
they're after.
And even by the end, you know that, okay, they're not terrorists. They're just to rob the place. And that's it,
Yeah.
And you know their whole plan. Here, we never really find their plan. The plan is let's get to Chernobyl. That's the plan.
Yeah. Basically.
Let's break you out of the courthouse. We're going to take you to Chernobyl, and then we're I again, I don't even know what they want in Chernobyl.
I
We never
know.
even find that out because,
Have they escaped the authorities then somehow?
yeah, like
Maybe.
again, I don't know what the plan is to get to Chernobyl. We know that John messes up whatever, John and Jack mess up whatever it is that Yuri and his daughter wanted at that point. But it's not as if they're there and they have this, gold reserve or something like that. That.
Exactly. Yeah. If it was something like that, you would understand it.
Right.
I mean, I'm sticking with my original first thought of he's waiting around for his actual crew to come. But I do love your other idea as well. That's now in the back of my mind a little bit.
Okay, good. I'm glad. That
You're making the movie better already.
okay, isn't that why we do this? To make the movie a little better.
You're 100% right.
I said,
Sometimes
first of all,
talking
I
about
want to
bad
say,
movies is better.
I did say, well, coming from you, I know you did an entire podcast on a movie that you guys love to hate.
Well, we now absolutely love Batman and Robin.
Okay.
because we had such, you know, we spent so much time with it, talking about it with each other, with other people. Now we watch it and we actually like it.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Right. I don't think that I'm ever going to reach that point where I'm going to say I enjoy watching A Good Day to Die Hard. But I got it. I mentioned that a year ago when I watched this, I gave it a one. After rewatching it, I gave it a two.
Hey, there
So
you go. It's getting better each
it's
time.
getting a little better. And we'll see by the time I finish going through this minute by minute or 5 minutes by 5 minutes. Maybe I'll have a little better appreciation for it. I don't think it's gonna. Let's put it this way. I'd be really surprised if it ever goes beyond 4 out of 10. By me, but.
Yeah, I don't think I could make it that high. Like, I use Letterboxd, and that's out of five. I give
Okay,
it one and a half out of five.
but that's a three. From my on
Yeah.
my scale, that's a three. So,
I don't think I could go higher than that.
exactly. But who knows? Maybe you'll have food for thought after our conversation over the next few days. Who knows?
Never say never.
That is correct. So Jack then hustles him out. The two of them are handcuffed, which is a lot of fun. Then we see like one of the soldiers or guards, in a daze, looking around, going to pick up his gun. And then, these guys in suits come in and they just shoot him. That's it. They're just anyone who's alive, we're going to shoot. And again, that's a really, really bad plan because, if their goal is to come there and take Yuri, they have to be able to differentiate between Yuri and everyone else. And
Except I thought this because in some situations that would be fine, right? But it's dark and it's smoky now, and
that's right.
they can't really see. You could easily, I mean, even us as the viewer can hardly see who these people are sometimes.
That's right.
That's a problem with the whole movie, though. I think the
But they
color
do have
palette's really odd.
flashlights. They have flashlights on their guns.
Is that really helping that much? And
No, not at
because
all.
they're so quick to shoot.
That's right. And then one of them goes, "Cage, check the cage." Which also doesn't really help much. Then we're back outside, and there's a lot of debris and chaos, and we hear a lot of screaming and trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing here. And then Jack reaches down and takes a gun off of somebody. I'm assuming it's one of the guards or something like that. Then we're back inside. The guys are trying to find they finally find the cage, and they find that the cage is empty, and they're a little bit shocked that is completely empty.
Why
And
would you
then,
be shocked? But you've just set off this massive explosion that could easily have blown that. Because again, I would assume it's like bulletproof and stuff, but not bomb proof.
well, again, if their plan was to do this, then and they don't want to hurt Yuri, especially Irina doesn't want to hurt Yuri. So, the plan needs to somehow, make sure that he doesn't get injured. I don't know.
Exactly. So
I don't know.
the I mean they on one hand, I actually if I was them, I might be glad it's empty, because if you're trying to get hold of him, then that at least means he's alive. Presumably. He's crawled out or something.
That's right. That's true. And then he goes, "They're not here." He goes, "No kidding." The again, we can easily tell that Irina is the one in charge. She shoots another guard that starts to stir a little bit. I mean, again, they're showing us how vicious these people are. And it's only going to get worse just throughout the course of the movie, where we see how vicious they are with everything that they're doing. But they're trying to figure out how to find Yuri, and they can't find him. And then we're back on the street with Jack and Yuri. A police car goes by, and then Jack pulls him into an alley, and he ends up going to the truck that we saw the other day that Jack left right before he went to go shoot the guy in the nightclub, which is very clever if you're paying attention to the fact that he specifically left it near the courthouse, knowing that that's what was gonna, that he was going to need it there. But then now I have another question. How did Jack know that something was going to happen in the courthouse for him to get out?
I was thinking this because he doesn't seem to be sort of improvising. It's almost like he has his own plan.
He
But
might
just.
have his own plan, but what is his plan? How is his plan connected to the fact that they're going to blow up, a caravan of three cars?
Exactly. I think maybe he had a plan. These guys blew up those cars separately, and it just so happened. He's like, oh, brilliant. Okay, I can do my plan now. It's a coincidence.
Don't know. Now, again, it's another thing that's an unanswered question that we never find out. We know that his plan gets messed up. That's it, but we never know what his plan is.
No. And when you get all the bits, coming up of where he's talking to his HQ or whatever, that doesn't really illuminate anything either.
No, nothing at all. We'll talk about that tomorrow. There's going to be a lot of that. Most of tomorrow is talking about that.
Yeah.
And at this point, they go, take Kamarov alive, kill the other one. So again, how do they know that he's escaped with Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they just happened to know he was going to be in court with someone else for some reason, and he must still be with him for some reason.
But he was going to be there with the guy who was going to be testifying against him.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't, I there's no explanation. Like, just have one little shot where they've got security cameras around the place, like, and they've seen that they're together or something like that.
Well, maybe they saw them go in, but again, they haven't seen them come out. I think
No.
that's more important that they're able to see them come out as opposed to going in.
Just have one shot of them looking through a camera, like, oh my God,
Yeah,
they're together.
that's right. And then Alex says yes, and then she goes, Alec, we need the file. That's it. It's like he's not even the there's so many MacGuffins in this movie. It's just crazy.
Yeah, the too so many that you don't care about any of them.
No, not at all.
No. And I know sometimes you're not supposed to care, but it's just to move the plot along. Okay.
That's right.
But I don't know. I'm a sucker for a good MacGuffin that you remember and you care about to a degree.
Yeah, and there isn't one
No,
here.
no, 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 no.
So, Jack then takes the keys from under, by the wheel, which again, it's clever that he hid the keys there so that he'd be able to use them. Which and that the fact that they let us see that he's able to, that he's done that, it shows that he has some sort of plan. And at this point, he starts driving and, backs up and just speeds out of there. And then he gives, I guess, a bulletproof vest to Yuri and says, "Put that on." And he goes, "Who are you?" And he goes, "I'm your best friend." Which again is it sounds like a John McClane line for him to say something like that.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Like, most of his dialogue, I think, isn't good. But there's the occasional bit where you're like, oh, John's back. But there's also loads of scenes where there's like a missed opportunity for a Johnism, and they don't go for it. At least you feel it a bit there.
Yeah, not so much, not enough. And then he speeds away, and then the car is stopped by the superhuman John McClane, who who stands in front of this van.
To be
And
honest, after the last movie, he basically is a superhuman.
yes, that's true. I give him credit for that. You're
That was his ascension.
right. And then we see the two of them looking at each other, and then he goes, "Jack?" He goes, "Dad?" He goes, "Get out of the van." He goes, "What are you doing here?" He goes, "Jack, hey, Jack." And then he goes, "Oh, shit."
See that this is what I mean. That's the perfect chance for him to do a John McClane witty, like New Jersey joke kind of thing. And he doesn't do it. It's like, oh, come on. You because it's funny. You've just bumped into, well, from your son's point of view, your dad's just appeared in the middle of your life or death mission. That's funny.
That's right.
And
And John,
I do get a laugh out of it in this. I
yeah,
think that's quite a good bit that. Yeah.
I do too. And I like the fact that John tries to open the door, but the door's locked, and they're just staring at each other, trying to, I find it very strange that, I mean, John came here because he thought his son is in trouble and he wants to help him, and we all know that in reality his son is not in trouble, his son is deep undercover and whatever. Okay, fine. And it's sort of a coincidence that John finds his way, or finds Jack at this point. There's in reality, I don't think their paths would have crossed.
No, it's absolutely wild.
It's a one in a million chance that they would that John would happen to be walking, towards the courthouse and happen to, stop the van.
Yeah, 'cause it, again, just have one scene where he somehow gets a bit of information about his son's in court.
I mean,
Maybe.
again, yesterday he did, he got a free cab ride because he let the cab driver sing, in order to get to the courthouse. So he knew that there was going to be this court case.
See, that actually is my favorite part of the movie, is the cab ride. 'Cause that the dialogue, the back and forth with the driver, that felt Die Hard to me.
Yes, Jay yesterday also mentioned that that was his favorite part of the movie.
Yay. It's got like character to it, you know? And I thought, oh, the Russian guy's gonna be like his sidekick. That'd be great. No.
Never shows up again.
Nah.
And then Yuri just gets out of the van and starts walking away. Now, if you pay attention on the left-hand side of the screen, when Yuri gets out of the van, you see a whole slew of vans with the same emblem on them.
Oh, yes.
Okay, which again, I could it be that this isn't his van? Could it be that he went to like a rent-a-car place and they always keep the keys under the no, but then why would he have a bulletproof vest to give him?
Oh, no, you're right. Okay.
Again, something is off here.
We're trying to make sense of this.
I really am.
Maybe he got that exact van because he knew he could leave it there because those other vans in that livery are there.
Maybe. Okay.
So it wouldn't stand out.
Okay, that's fair.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Because no one would think, oh, that's a bit suspicious outside the courthouse. Because these look, what sort of vans are they? Security or something?
And then Alec happens to just turn around and happens to see that at the end of the block, that's where John is, and Yuri is now outside of the van. Again, another huge coincidence. And at this point, Jack notices what's going on. He goes, "Oh shit!" And then, we see from Alec's perspective that he notices, and he goes, "Kamarov, Kamarov!" Alec then says, "Quick, get that truck, get the truck." He wants them to bring the truck tank, in order to help them to catch him. And I love the beard on the guy next to Alec. He's got just like a very bushy goatee type of
That's
it's very straight.
that is pretty good. I like that. I'm jealous.
And then Jack gets out of the van and John tries to grab him and instead just slaps him in the back. And he goes, "Go home." And he says, "What the f do you think, Jack?" He goes, "You're out of your depth, John. Jack, what are you doing?" He goes, No.
This bodes well. I know we know it doesn't end up well, but the tension feels interesting at this point. Like, ooh, what's going to happen between these two? I mean, even
And
pulling a gun on him.
that's right. And Jack then like drags Yuri back, and then one of Alec's men tries to raise up his gun and get shooting, and Alec goes, No. He goes, "We need him alive." He's thwarted one of these guys from doing a little bit more damage. And then Jack points the gun at John and he goes, "Jack," he goes, "What, you're gonna shoot me? You're gonna shoot your own father? You shouldn't be here, John. You shouldn't be here."
See, I like that because we know as viewers, right? Even though we've not seen their relationship, we know he's not going to shoot him. It's not about that. He's not actually threatening to shoot him.
No, of
It's
course,
more
it's
out of
only 20 minutes into the
frustration.
movie.
Like, what the hell is going on?
Can't shoot John. It's 20, we got another hour and 20 minutes to go through.
That would be interesting. Yeah, he's in the first sort of the beginning of the movie, and he gets killed by his own
That's right.
son.
That's right. And you can see that Jack still has the handcuffs on him, but we have absolutely no idea how he broke through the handcuffs?
Yeah, I in the explosion. I don't know. I just have to
I
go with
that's
that.
the only explanation that we can really think of here.
Because despite what some movies with, hunky action stars have told us, I don't think people can just break handcuffs with their bare hands.
Probably not.
No.
And then Alec and his men get back on this tank truck, and Jack just drives away. And John is not happy about this.
Understandable.
And then the truck tank drives past John, and you hear John go, "Whoa!" He goes, "You're gonna f-ing run me over." Then he screams at Jack, which I'm sure Jack could hear,
Oh,
and he
totally.
goes, "You're only making it worse."
Totally heard that.
He knows how to project his voice really well.
There's a lot of crazy movies like that where, like all the Fast and Furious films, they seem to be able to have conversations outside the windows while they're driving like 100 miles an hour.
Don't you do that every day?
Oh, all the time, all the time,
Yeah, exactly.
yeah.
Me too. Me too. And as the chase begins, this segment of 5 minutes ends. So, did you have anything else you wanted to discuss about these 5 minutes that we might have missed?
The only other thing I really had was that at the start of these minutes, I like the music, because it's almost got, without just doing this, it's almost got a ticking clock kind of sound, which lets you, the viewer, know, oh, something is about to happen. I like that. I always like that in a movie. Even when it's a literal ticking clock. I mean, they had that in Dunkirk, the war movie. That's literally a ticking clock, and that's great too, because it sort of subliminally works on you. It gets you excited and interested and hooked. So I like that. I thought that was a good little addition to the scenes.
Okay, very cool. Okay, so today's segment is Top Cop, where my guests will give their top five movie detectives, policemen, however you want to refer to it. Why don't you start off with your number five and work your way up?
Okay, well, now let me just say up front though that I could have done 30 of these. So I could rotate others out. If you don't like some of these, I've got a bunch more you can ask me about online, people. But I had to narrow it down. So I had to pick some out of the ones I love. So number five, I went with someone who we have sort of mentioned. I went with Frank Drebin of Naked Gun. Because he's unbelievably fantastic. It's such a good parody of these kind of characters. It's so silly but so clever at the same time, which is a rare balance to get right, I think. And wonderfully acted, as we all know. Because I mean, he's a proper actor, isn't he? Originally, he wasn't a comedy actor.
Yeah, of course. He was the captain on the ship in
Oh,
the Poseidon Adventure.
yes. And oh, he was in he's in a sci-fi movie I've got. Forbidden Planet, is it?
Oh wow.
I think he's
I
in that.
actually saw him a few weeks ago in a Western where he played the bad guy.
Oh, wow. Oh, that must be a bit distracting now, in retrospect.
It was so distracting. I kept saying, and it was a Western from like 1957, and I'm like, what?
Oh, God.
That's Leslie Nielsen? No, it can't be.
Well, I'm still hoping that the new Naked Gun does him proud anyway. At least they referenced him. They weren't just like retconning it. They reference him in the trailer, so that's good. Number four, this guy, he's not a policeman, but he's a detective. I went with Benoit Blanc of the Knives Out movies. Well, slash Glass Onion, but it's called a Knives Out movie or whatever. Because I love that character. I think it's like an homage to sort of classic detective film, like a sort of, almost like an Agatha Christie kind of a vibe. And I think the accent is, it's crazy, and I love that he did that, because there's no one who had seen his previous movies would assume that's what he's going to do. It's nuts.
I think that's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's part of why it works, because as soon as you start speaking, you're just like, what the hell? And it's perfect. What a cool idea for a character as well, being from, I'm assuming it's like, is he from like Louisiana kind of area, that sort of part of the USA. It's quite a distinctive accent round there, isn't it? I like it, and I love both of those movies. I'm looking forward to the third one. I know the second one was seemed to be a bit. Some people loved it, some people hated it. I just thought it was
I didn't
fantastic.
like the second one as much as I did the first. I think the first was clever.
I really appreciated though that the second one, it wasn't just a redo of the first one. They really thought about how do we put him in a new situation that's totally different to the previous situation. And a bit like Die Hard 3 to Die Hard 1, it's like, oh, we've got to change this. We've got to change this. So yeah, I love Benoit. And number three, this character's technically from television, but there are two movies of the TV show. I've got Fox Mulder of the X-Files. And that's because it's one of my favorite things ever growing up. And I always wanted to be Fox Mulder, basically, because he was the coolest guy ever. Even though I think he's ac accidentally influenced a lot of annoying conspiracy people online. Unfortunately, I think it had that effect. That's not the effect they were going for with the show. It's very different. But I love David Duchovny in general anyway, and Fox Mulder's like the coolest. And again, there were two movies of it, so I'm letting it count. And they're both quite good.
It counts. It
Yeah,
counts.
they're both quite good. They're not as good as the show, but that's always going to be the case, isn't it? Because they have to change the whole sort of pacing and things like that. But what a formative era for me was the X-Files. It was like the biggest thing ever growing up. Everyone watched it, even people who don't like sci-fi or things like that, Number two, I'm not kissing butt, but John McClane of Die Hard. I mean, that goes without saying, doesn't it? What a character, especially in the first three movies. He's just so witty and fun, and it's a unique sort of take on it where he's not an action hero. He's a cop. He accidentally gets into these awful situations and somehow scrapes through. Like by the end of those three movies, he's almost dead each time. And it's refreshing in the era of Arnold Schwarzenegger, who I love, and like Sylvester Stallone, who I love. It's just refreshing because those two guys, they might be bleeding, but they never ever feel like they're on the back foot. Even in Predator, Arnold doesn't really feel like he's on the back foot. You're like, ah, oh, he's gonna be all right. He's Arnold. But John does genuinely. They pull it off in those first three. You think, oh, he might die. Of course, he's not gonna die. He's the star. But you think he might. And I love that. And number one, oh, this is so obvious. Batman. Because he's technically a detective. He's the world's greatest detective.
That's right. And which Batman,
Well,
though?
I did actually put in brackets a specific Batman. And there's a reason. Because of the wording of this sort of, segment, I picked the one from the most recent, The Batman. Because I think that is the closest to the comic book they've ever done. It's exactly like all the comics me and Niall cover on our Patreon shows. Cheap plug for the Patreon. It felt like the exact same guy we've been reading, And he actually does detective work in the movie, unlike in basically every other Batman movie. Yeah, he's actually there at crime scenes with the cops and, taking samples. You're like, oh, he's being Batman. He's not just punching people. Great. And I think that's such a good film. I mean, I want to say it's my favorite Batman, but my other favorite Batman is Batman Returns, and it's so different. I don't know how you compare the two. They're barely the same franchise. So I'm going to say the joint best, the joint. They're the two. They're up there for me. And I'm looking forward to the new one, but who knows when it's coming? There's all these, rumors that it's been delayed again as of recording. So ugh, who knows?
Oh,
But yeah, the Batman. I had to put him. I had to put
fair enough. I'm not surprised. I'm sure Niall will have him high on his list also.
I think he will. I think he might. I'm going to predict number one. Like I have. I'm going to predict that. I don't know if I'm right. I haven't spoken to him about it.
Well, you guys do have a podcast called The Bat Minute,
Well, that's
so
one reason I almost didn't put him on the list because of that. But I was like, nah, it's going on. What's going on? I did have an honorable mention as well, because my favorite ever detective, he is in the movie version of a TV show, but he's only in the movie version for a few minutes, so I didn't want to include him because he's not really in the film. It's Dale Cooper of Twin Peaks. He's my absolute favorite detective of all time. It's my favorite TV show of all time. But the movie Fire Walk With Me, he's only in a bit of the film. I don't think that
Oh,
counts to me.
yeah, probably not.
Yeah, because Kyle MacLachlan, the actor, basically, I think if I remember, the rumor is he just kind of was like, "I'm not doing that anymore. I'll turn up for a couple of days, and that's all you're getting at me." So they changed the sort of structure a little bit. He's in a scene with
Makes sense.
David Bowie, and that's about it.
Okay. All right, and every day we have a daily game called State Your Motto. Okay, so now I don't know if you're aware of this, but the phrase "live free or die" is the state motto of New Hampshire.
Oh, I didn't know that. I knew it was like some American saying. I didn't know it had a specific state to it.
Okay, which obviously, the Die Hard 4.0, Live Free or Die Hard, doesn't take place in New Hampshire at all. So,
That's a good point.
makes you wonder why they wanted to do that, but okay, that's fine.
Yeah, over here in England, it was just called Die Hard 4.0, and I thought
4.0.
that's a crap name. Come on.
Which 4.0?
4.0, I don't like it. I like the longer names, cooler, and it's so American.
Yes, I agree with you on that. But I mean, we've debated this a little bit, back when we were talking about that movie. But the 4.0 fits in better because it's a tech.
Yeah, you could argue it at least explains, well, not explains, but at least sort of alludes to what the plot might be focusing on.
That's right. Live Free or Die Hard doesn't do that at all.
It doesn't, no.
No, not at all. So basically, Live Free or Die is the state motto of New Hampshire. So what I decided to do is every day I'm going to choose a different state, and then I will give you three choices, and you have to tell me which is the real motto of that state. Now, every motto that I give you is a real motto.
Okay, this is going to be so interesting to me as an English person because I don't know.
Yes, I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. So the state that I chose for you now is Maine.
Okay.
Do you know where Maine is?
I do because isn't that where a lot of Stephen King's stuff's set?
Yes.
Yeah, or basically all of it.
Most of it. Yeah, Stephen King lives in Bangor, Maine. I actually have a brother that lives in Bangor, Maine, and when I went to go visit him a few years ago, he took me to Stephen King's house,
Oh,
and
whoa.
we got to look from the outside
So you're basically his best friend then, Stephen King.
Well, no, I was actually concerned to go there. I was, worried that there would be some sort of curse or something like that. I don't know. Okay, so your three choices are it. Oh, again, these are all real state mottos. Just only one of them is of Maine. Okay, so number one, gold and silver. Number two, I direct. Or number three, friendship.
Oh, okay. None of them sort of give me a clue. I direct is weird. That's a strange one. I'm gonna go with, I think in my mind, friendship sounds quite nice. I think that might fit a little bit more. Whereas, 'cause silver and gold, that sounds a bit more like you might get somewhere with a lot of precious metals. And I direct sounds a bit military, so I'm gonna go friendship.
Okay, well, the answer is I direct.
Ah, damn it. I had a logic,
Yes, you had a logic, but again, that fits for two other states, so Okay, great. So, John, would you like to tell people where they can find you?
Yes, if you'd like to listen to more of me, you can check out my podcast, Bat Minute, where we talk about the Batman movies. And we've also got Miami Minutes, where we talk about Miami Connection. And I also have Hedwig Inch by Angry Inch, about the musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch. So just check all them out. They're just on everything. We're on Spotify now. I'm probably getting rid of the dot coms. I'm not going to plug them. Can't be bothered paying for those. It's a waste of money. No one ever
Okay.
clicks them. People just find you on the apps.
Right, it's true. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And I'm also on Instagram. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue. But it ain't me, it ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one, no.